Yes, there it's running. Please excuse the rampant professionalism. You know what they say, don't try this at home. Anyhow, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm just going to read three verses, and depending upon my rant this morning, I may not even get to them. I don't know. I know I got a really big paragraph typed here that I typed up yesterday because I realized what day it was. 2 Corinthians 11, and I want to begin reading verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's all I'm going to read today, for right now anyway. Now, as most of you probably remember, this day is known around the world as Easter Sunday. Well, at least for this year, this is Easter Sunday. Next year, it'll be a different Sunday. That's your first clue to the fact that they don't know what day it is. When it changes every year, they're not sure. And the reason is they don't know. They have a traditional day they pick out every year. I have no idea how it works, and I don't care how it works. I do personally wish they would pick a day and actually stick with it so that, you know, one year it might be on Thursday, one day it might be on Tuesday. And that way I might get a day off during the week. Well, that's what it's good for, what they're doing. That's why I like Christmas so much, because sometimes I get Friday off and make a 3-day weekend out of it.
There you go. Amen, brother.
Well, that's the only reason I like Christmas. But, of course, the way tradition has it, it has to be a Sunday, because the Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ arose on the first day of the week, which he did.
Right.
Which is why we're here on a Sunday. Right now. Now, it's celebrated in this country by people hiding eggs, real and plastic, which they pretend were brought by a rabbit. Now, I have no idea what that has to do with Christ at all. It's not exactly what I would consider a valid celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not me. They don't know on what day he arose, just like they don't know what day he was born. But this time of year was picked because it was close to the time of the old pagan fertility rites and festivals. That's what it's all about. Just like they picked December 25th because it was really close to the winter solstice. It was a day people had already been using to party. So they just incorporated it from the old religious festivals, the pagan religious festivals, and they just incorporated it into Christianity and decided to, well, we'll do it now. Because about now, everybody's going to want a party anyway. And basically what they sort of did is they just sort of changed the name of some of the activities to protect the guilty. Just like in the old temples, they changed the names of the statue to protect the guilty. People were already used to having a festival at this time, so, you know, we'll just make it now. Now, I want to go on record saying I do not have any problem with the families gathering together. people gathering together, your family and kids. And if they want to have an Easter egg hunt, go right ahead.
Sure.
I like to see kids happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one reason why I do like Christmas. Candy's not bad either. I don't know anything about that. But it's nice to have a reason for a family to get together.
Sure.
In the spring, when things are coming back to life, the world is turning, the age is going on, the kids are getting older. But please, I always ask one thing, you know, do me a favor, leave Christ out of it. I mean, just if you want to have an Easter egg hunt, they have Easter egg hunts at church. They have Easter egg hunts at Baptist churches. I don't understand that in the least. That just boggles my mind. Just keep the Easter eggs at home. And please don't go walking around town with a cross. I come so close to running over somebody on a sidewalk Friday. They were walking through town, and I saw the back line, because they're doing it in a relay, because one person can't carry that thing the whole way. So there's like six or eight people, most of them kids, and they're on the sidewalk, and I get up there, and there's a wooden cross, and one of them's carrying it. With wheels on the bottom, because those things are hard to drag. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a 2x2 or something, you know. You know, I don't think you could hang anybody from it, much less. But see, that's people's idea of religion. That's what they're thinking of. See, we want to remind people that Jesus Christ was crucified. Well, he wasn't crucified on Friday. Do the math.
Right, exactly.
Okay? It should be Good Thursday. But see, that would mess up the weekend again. Because see, a lot of people get Friday off. I don't. They asked me if I was having a good Friday. I said, no, I'm working. And it took me a little while to realize what they were asking. He was in the ground 3 days, three nights. From Friday to Sunday does not work. I'm sorry. But people like Friday. That's what they picked it. I don't know. If you want to blame somebody, blame Catholicism. That's where it came from. And it's infiltrated everything else because it's all become standardized. And all I got to say is don't try to sanctify pagan practices with Christ's name.
Right.
No matter what they are. Christ's resurrection is celebrated every Sunday when his church gathers together on the first day of the week.
Amen.
That's why we're here every Sunday.
Yeah.
Is because it was on this day of the week that he did rise from the dead to die no more.
Amen.
And he ever lives to make intercession for us.
Amen.
I grew up around pagan stuff. I grew up around it. I was born and raised Catholic. I know this is going out on video, on the internet, but it's the truth. I grew up around idols. I grew up around symbols. And I grew up around rituals. And since I left them, I no longer like them. I didn't really like them that much while I was there. But I like them even less now. Because I know what they're trying to take the place of. I know what they're there instead of. They're there instead of the truth of God's word.
Right,
that's what they're there for. You have a ritual that you perform every Sunday, and some people more than that, you know? Because not only did I grow up around all kinds of ceremonies, celebrations, and then I also grew up around what they call holy days of obligation. Which Easter is a holy day of obligation. And so is Christmas. But so is Good Friday. And so is Ash Wednesday. And so is this and that and the other. They have them because they call it a holy day of obligation because you are obligated to go to church that day. You are obligated to worship God that day is what they're teaching. God's people are to worship God every day. God's people are to praise Christ every day. And they are to gather together whenever we set it up to gather, which happens to be on Sunday morning. I remember, see, if you don't show up, you know, for Ash Wednesday, and if you don't get that little ash, what they do is you come up to the front and they put a little piece of ash up on your forehead. I was late one day because, Ash Wednesday is not a free school day. So I had to go after school, and I was goofing off. So I was late showing up. So I didn't get to sit with my family. I was at the back of the church because the place is packed. And I went up and I had the black stuff put on my head. But the guy didn't have much by the time I got there. So by the time I got home, there wasn't much in my head. My mom accused me of not going to church. Mom, I was there. It was packed. I was in the back. I got the stuff. And I looked up. She said, there ain't nothing there. I had no proof. I was busted, even though I was there. Because if you miss a holy day of obligation, you are lacking.
Yeah.
Now, you miss here, we'll talk about you.
Amen. You got that right.
It's true. It's true.
That's right.
We'll talk about you. But I don't doubt your salvation. Coming here doesn't bestow any kind of magical power for your soul. And if for some reason, for a good reason, you can't make it, that's not making you any less saved. And that's what some of that stuff is. If you don't have communion, and if the priest doesn't absolve you of your sins, you're not absolved. And then you'll get into the whole thing of purgatory and other things if you die and all that stuff, to where you got to work yourself out of it after a while because you weren't bad enough to go to hell. That is not Christianity. That is not the worship of Christ. The world calls it Christianity because they use the name Jesus Christ, but they don't know Him. They don't teach of the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible, the Spirit of the Bible. And that's what happened all over this country this morning at about sunrise in a bunch of cemeteries. I slept through it. Well, I woke up Debbie, and then I went back to sleep because she had to work today. I was tempted to get up and go blaring my stereo around in cemeteries, but I didn't do that. But, like I said, I grew up around this pagan stuff. And every now and then, it gets to me. I remember statues. I remember crucifixes. And you had the little crucifixes you wear around your neck, and then you had the big crucifixes they had in church.
Yeah.
And I remember in Chicago, which was more of an established, it was an established Catholic church, the real thing. Candles in the front and everything else. And people coming up to kiss the feet of statues. Mary. And sometimes Jesus. I don't find anything even close to resembling that in this book. I remember having to dress up because it was Easter. And I hated that. It was bad enough having to wear church clothes on regular Sunday. But having to wear a suit made it even worse. When I was a kid. And I remember places being so full on Easter Sunday, you couldn't sit down. You couldn't sit in your regular place because some other bunch of strangers was in there that you never see or you only see once or twice a year at Easter and Christmas. They come for the ritual. They come because it is a supposed holy day. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That's every day.
Amen.
If you know Christ. That's every day if you know God. That's every day if you have eternal life, which you have if you know Christ and you know God. Anyhow, the reason I got thinking about that in this scripture here was because of last week where I talked about Antichrist, and then I realized yesterday where everybody was going to be tomorrow morning. Not people here, but everywhere else. And Walter, I flashed back to that last sunrise service that I was in that you preached at. It was a good sermon. It was short, thankfully, but it was cold. It was, well, I mean, I couldn't see any reason to be out in that cemetery. Not to hear the Word of God preached. Not when God gave us a nice building with heaters in it. But this morning, that's where people were. And last week I spoke about many antichrists being present, where John wrote about them 1900 years ago. Paul wrote this around the same time. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's not a good ending. That is not a good ending. Paul actually had problems with people who were calling themselves apostles.
Yeah.
And Paul said they were false apostles. And the reason Paul called them false apostles is because they were false apostles. There were 12 apostles, and I am including Paul in that number. Because I'm not including the guy that the 11 picked to take Judas's place by the name of Matthias. I've got nothing against Matthias. I just don't know anything about him. That's the only place he's mentioned in this book. The Apostle Paul was called the Apostle to the Gentiles. That's what he was. He saw Christ. But Paul had people coming by saying they were apostles. And then he calls them deceitful workers. Now, I read what John Gill wrote about this, and I actually copied it down because I really like this. When he got to the place where it said deceitful workers, now this is John Gill's words. He said, they went by the name of laborers in Christ's vineyards when they were loiterers in it.
Yeah.
I like that. They pretended to work. They did not. And to work for Christ, they pretended to work for Christ when they only served themselves and their own bellies. They took upon them to interpret the scriptures, but in a very fallacious manner. They walked in craftiness and handled the word of God deceitfully. That's exactly right. And lay in wait to deceive men, and were masters of so much art and cunning that if it was possible, they would have deceived the very elect. They were deceitful workers. It didn't say they didn't work. They did work, but they were deceitful workers. And I looked that up in the Greek, and it says deceitful. That's what it says. That's what it translates. They were full of deceit. And a deceit is a lie.
Amen.
A deception. A fake. That's what they were full of. They worked. By gollies, they'll work. They will build huge buildings. They will gather large crowds. And there's work in that. But also, They're there, not serving God, but serving themselves. Because there's also a great deal of money in that. And that's what these people are working for. Money, power, fame. They're not workers of Christ. They're deceitful. They lie about God, they lie about the Son, and they lie about the Spirit. They work, but they don't work well. And then this statement here, which I just read, and it just kind of hit me when I was thinking yesterday, and I've heard this before and I've read it before. It says, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. These deceitful workers, these false apostles, and I'll tell you right now, these false preachers right now that are lying on God, they transform themselves. God didn't transform them. Christ didn't transform them. The Spirit didn't transform them. They transform themselves. They pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, Mason. That's not what this book talks about. It's not that God made them preachers. God made them teachers. God made them whatever. They transform themselves. That's what Paul says about them. That's what's true about them. And that's what's wrong with them. Because if you transform yourself into anything, you can transform yourself back out of it. And as Walter's been talking about our righteousnesses being filthy rags in God's sight, I think our transformation might be considered part of that. If somebody transforms themselves into something else, you're trying to do something for God. You're trying to say you are something for God. That's what these guys were doing. They transform themselves, and that's also what they preach. You can transform yourself. You need to get right with God. I wish I could, but I can't. And I've never been able to. And I will never be able to. But thankfully, Christ can make me right with God. And actually did 2,000 years ago. Now, then he says, this transformation is no marvel. This is no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is the way the devil works. It should not be a surprise to us. Although it was at one time. Satan knows about light. Satan knows about darkness. Satan knows about man. Matter of fact, says in one place he can take him captive at his own will. And he knows the old adage that it's easier to catch flies with honey, with something sweet, with something nice, with supposed light. It's no marvel. And that's what he wants to do. And that's how he does it. You are of your father the devil. His works you'll do. That's what Christ told some of them. You lie, and he's the father of lies. These people lied, and they work for the father of lies. They'll preach. Now they don't appear, let's put it this way, they don't appear to preach against God. But what happens is they preach a different Christ. They preach a different Father, and they all preach a different Spirit. They'll preach another gospel, which is not another. They'll preach about good works. They'll preach about holiness. They'll preach about all kinds of good things that we should do. And I'm not against good works. But my good works have nothing to do with getting my salvation. My salvation, true salvation, is His salvation. He gave it to me. And there, from then on, I've been created unto good works, not before. I had no good works before. And in and of myself, I have no good works now. They'll preach righteousness, but they don't preach the righteousness of Christ. They'll preach your righteousness. They'll preach their own righteousness. They'll preach anybody's righteousness except the righteousness of Christ. They'll preach a Christ while they're standing in a cemetery, Walter, at sunrise. But they don't preach the Christ of God who by His resurrection that they are supposedly celebrating, by His resurrection and His offering to God, obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. For His people. One offering, once. And that's it. That's all. One offering, once. And that is what we are to celebrate every Sunday. Jesus Christ has saved His people from their sins. Not that He's going to. Not that He should. Not that He wants to. He did save His people from their sins. It's done. Matter of fact, it is finished. And that's what we are to celebrate every Sunday. Believers celebrate the salvation which is of the Lord. The redemption of the people of God by the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. The glory of His substitutionary sacrifice, Christ's acceptance by the Father of His offering, which was to the Father and not to us. And what all that means. We, believers, now are accepted in the Beloved. In Christ, by the Father. Walter, what we talked about last week, I am righteous now in Christ.
Amen.
I am clean now in Christ. Not in my flesh. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But I have righteousness in Christ. Every individual believer converted can say that. I am righteous in Christ. Because I am accepted by God. In Christ, the Father. And you are accepted now by the Father if you're in Christ. And that acceptance, that holiness, that righteousness, those works, whatever they are, is in Christ. All of it. And that's why I don't want to hear these last words here where it says, whose end shall be according to their works. I don't want that. I want my end to be according to Christ's works. That's where I want my end to be. I want my end to be at the end of Christ's works. And if you're in Him, if you're chosen by Him, if you've been given life, regenerated and converted by Him, you won't be judged according to your works.
Right.
You'll be judged according to His works. And that's a lot better statement. whose end shall be according to their works. That's not a good end. That's a bad end. Matter of fact, it's about as bad as it can get. Going back again to what Walter was saying. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That's their righteousnesses too. We ain't gonna worry about your bad works, we'll worry about your good works. No flesh shall ever be justified by their works. Because there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I want Christ's righteousness. Because I need Christ's righteousness. And in Christ, in Him, He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that's what I need. And that's what these fellas here, and what those fellas out there in those cemeteries is not preaching. Christ is not everything to everybody. Christ is everything to His people. And the world hates that. God has chosen His people before the foundation of the world, and He chose them in Christ. And in Christ is where they still are. Nobody's got out. Nobody slipped out. Nobody ran away. If you were in Christ before the foundation of the world, you are in Christ now. And you usually don't hear that on Easter Sunday sunrise services. You'll hear just about everything else but that. And then afterwards you can have the Easter egg hunt. But this is the words of this book. He is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our light, our life. And there is no life, there is no light outside of Him. And there never will be. Outside of Him, all you got is your works. And good luck with that. Because it ain't going to happen. But if you're in Him, you have it all. You have everything God requires. And God requires some stuff. God does require holiness. God does require righteousness. But in Christ, I've got everything God requires. And in Christ, you've got everything God requires.
Yeah.
And that is a cause for rejoicing upon the day of His resurrection and every day. Every day. Because He is Lord every day. He is our Savior every day. He is God every day. That's all. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time and this place. But thank You most of all for Your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who came and gave Himself a willing sacrifice for our sins, and who saved us by His resurrection, His death, His sacrifice, His offering, His work, His life. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.